Mega Ran and Marcos present Castle Grayskull Radio. You now have the power!
In the center of the universe, on planet Eternia, is Castle Grayskull, the ancient fortress, its power sought by the dark forces of Snake Mountain, the sanctuary of sin and sorrow, ruled by the evil Skeletor.
Two men, Mega Ran and Marcos, have created a secret bunker deep within the dungeon of Castle Grayskull, and through a secret broadcast link between worlds, have discovered a way to bring you updates from this distant universe. This is Castle Grayskull Radio, a Masters of the Universe podcast.
You have the power!
What's going on, y'all? We're back. It's episode 3. If you made it this far, you're still with us, and I appreciate that. But I have a very important question for all of you, especially for you, Marcos. You ready for my question?
Yeah. What is the question, sir?
Do you believe in magic?
Do you remember in the old Masters of the Universe show how Merman used to talk?
Yes.
He would talk like he was gargling, you know, some rocks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something else. Remember, let's keep it PG, brother.
You know what's good? Can't get all rated R like your boy Xavier Woods.
So, yeah, man, on the old show, that was the one thing I noticed, because this one starts off with an appearance by the one and only Merman. And they start off reminiscing on like an old adventure. And he's like, yeah, you forgot about the sea and brr. And like, it made me remember that Merman had this wild, weird gargle voice back in the day. That was really kind of ridiculous. So I'm glad they didn't do that, but I kind of miss it. So, you know, big shout outs.
You can't have it both ways, man. You can't be like, oh man, I hate it. And then I miss it, dog.
I thought it was silly, and maybe it would have just, you know, kind of hijacked the vibe of the show. If this dude is in here, I'm like, ah, and like, then people will have to make jokes about his voice and stuff. And maybe that, you know, maybe that wouldn't be nice. But anyway, we're here to talk about episode 3, which is called The Most Dangerous Man in Eternia. Now, a lot of things that I enjoy happen here. We get a return of a once disgraced man. Good old Duncan comes back, and he's not the man at arms anymore. He is a civilian.
He's just straight up Duncan.
Yeah, he's just Duncan. He ain't nobody.
He's like, who's that? It's Duncan?
Yeah, it's just Duncan. Oh, there go old Duncan again.
Old cool Duncan.
So he can't build anything or else he'll be like disgraced and maybe get his head chopped off or something. Based on some events that have happened earlier in the show that hopefully you've watched before you get here. Now, we get some returns. Like I said, we get Man-at-Arms, who is not the man at arms. He's just a man with arms.
You know what? You know what? I love Duncan. I think for the first time in the mythos of the show, they give this man the hard body props that he deserves. Like, think about it. Like, this guy is that guy. It wasn't magic. It was just pure skill. He's like the John Wick without being triggered. Like, he's just that dude. You know what? I'm appropriately name him the Baba Yaga of Masters of the Universe.
Okay. I like it.
Because, like, you know, as you are, I'm having the episode play in the background. And honestly, like, when he takes off that hood, like, there's fear. They're like, oh, no.
Right.
Like, my man is back.
Like, okay, it's him, you know. Like, he's respected. And there's a great quote. Like, I'm not going to give you the full recap because you can watch it and it's only 20 minutes long. But Evil Lynn has an awesome quote, which is the name of the episode, She says, "Man at arms, I always told everybody, is the real threat. He's the most dangerous man in Eternia." And I thought, yo, like that was really like maybe some foreshadowing to be like, yo, without him, what's the good guys doing over there without the man, without Duncan?
Thinking, like putting your thinking caps on outside of the show, like I honestly think, because you know, as a show that was built to sell toys, and I'm basically more like, if Netflix would have made the entire show, I honestly think that Man at Arms or Duncan would have been the person that taught Adam as He-Man how to fight. Because remember, he's this big dude that's all powerful, but you still got to fight. Like, you got to learn how to do that one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, based on the little cut episodes that they did in the 80s, Man at Arms is always trying to teach Adam like how to defend himself. So I think he truly was the one that made He-Man the man, as they say. Facts.
Okay. So this brings up another point. Motherboard, the cult, not so culty, maybe a cult group, shows up again. And they see all the old heads trying to get magic and trying to preserve it. And they're like, nah. We don't.
And they're like, magic is dead. And my favorite line by Trapjaw, when he says, "Long live the sprocket," and then he shoots his cannon.
Yeah, it's all about the holy sprocket, yo.
Yeah.
So now, what we just said about Man at Arms or Duncan might mean that Motherboard is right. I mean, is it technology or is it magic? Like, what makes the world go round?
Mm-hmm. I think this is why this show hits on so many different levels. Although they're the comic relief, it's like they're making some serious points, which is not like something that the old cartoon used to do. Like, if you think about it, you know, we get an introduction of Roboto, who plays a major character later on. If you want to be real, you know, without spoiling anything, what they're saying is true. It is kind of like technology that saves the day in certain aspects. You know what I mean?
So I think you're saying that you are a member of the Motherboard cult. I think that's what you're saying.
No. I'm not that cool. And I don't think the Holy Sprocket.
You praising the Holy Sprocket over there?
Nah. I respect the Holy Sprocket.
You got to respect it. Like, they're making a good point that, I don't know. I mean, not to try to throw our theories out. We can wait till the last episode for theories. But maybe these guys could turn out to be really major players and not just the comic relief at some point.
I think that's what they're angling. I don't know how great they're gonna pull it off, but like, I don't think of them as bit players, at least not in my view. I think of them as individuals that are basically, they have just a different theory or theology. They're kind of like the stand-in villain. And honestly, because there's so much that we're trying not to spoil, like, I can't wait till we do episode 5. I have some off-the-wall theories on everything. Based on my vast cartoon knowledge as a big fanboy of anything.
We'll get to them. We'll get to them. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. All right, so we get, man, all the people I had toys of. We got Merman. We got Roboto. We got Orko, who wants one last ride. Now, Orko looked kind of pathetic through most of this episode. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. And it immediately made me think, oh, he dead. So we'll see what happens. But honestly, I immediately thought, when people start talking about one last ride and one last time and it won't be like the other times, he dead. But I don't know. Maybe Kevin Smith's got a curveball in the pocket.
I honestly think, honestly, and this is something that people are not going to talk about, like his character really gets fleshed out in the series. And honestly, I love the voice choice for him. Like, it's not annoying. It's like more of like a voice that you empathize with, right? Like, when he's talking and You know, when he gets introduced in his state, like you said, he's not looking like himself. You get a sense of like who the actual character is.
Yeah. And they've never done that in the original cartoon. Like, far as I know, Orko maybe had one or two episodes where he had his own adventure or something. But
yeah, and they never really explained who he is.
No, like, he gets a chance to talk about it. He's the last of a dying or dead breed, and you know, he's destined to make something of his life. So,
and he's the runt too.
Yeah, and so. He's the runt of the litter. So hopefully he can make something happen. Now, without magic, Orko and Evil-Lyn are not as effective as they once were. So,
I mean. But Evil-Lyn comes through and starts, you know, going pew, pew, pew with her, you know, staff.
There's some pew, pew, pews happening. Yeah. Merman returns. Interestingly enough, I thought starting off with a reminisce moment of Merman and then Merman actually appears was a little too maybe predictable. But I think they wanted to set the scene of who he was, what he could do, and then have him come back.
But yeah, because he definitely, there wasn't no foreshadowing there. They were like, yeah, I'm coming back, dog. like we don't forget. I still I always wish that they would have changed the way he looks, because like had this weird fish thing,
a little wild.
Like, yeah, he looks crazy. but
you know, they wanted to keep it familiar. You know, that's the best thing about it. When I see these guys, I know exactly who they are. You know, I love that, being able to be like, oh yeah, that's Roboto, I had the toy. You know, once again, Man at Arms holds it down,
jumps. Yo, he comes through hard body
fish heads and making it happen. And like, all I keep thinking about is Evil-Lyn, man, saying he's the real threat. And yeah. Sure enough, like, he comes through, he holds it down, and then he gets a sentimental moment with Teela, which I thought was dope.
Yeah.
And I like how they use Merman to kind of get to where they got to get, and then they let him go. And it's like, that's not a very like bad guy thing to do. You got Beast Man here who's like, yo, I'll just rip his arms off. And and Evil-Lyn's like, nah, throw him in the water. And it's like,
I love his dedication to Evil-Lyn. And I think it's like, it also shows Evil-Lyn's layers there. I think that was planned. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that. I agree. I'm a big fan of Evil-Lyn and her different layers that they're showing us in the show, where she's not all evil. Sometimes she's just Lyn.
Yep. She's just plain old Lyn.
So they got to go to hell, basically, to Subternia, to try to continue and figure out the meaning of what's happening, and eventually and hopefully save the sorceress who is dying, I guess.
They don't really explain that. Like I assume, for those of you that have kept up and are listening to us, like, I assume she got turned into a human.
I'm not quite sure. I would love to, you know, feel free to drop us some comments or some thoughts on it, but they don't necessarily go into a lot of sorceress's deal. But but basically we have to do this to save them, and that's what we know. So now it's time to open the gate, and who else can do it but Evil-Lyn? Thank goodness. Yep. She's been carrying around this skull head ever since you know what? She's been holding it down. And so she has the key to open this place. And so it's time to go to hell.
Literally.
So one thing that I want to talk about is that Roboto mentioned that Duncan created him in his own image. And he says, yo, I'm the younger, like, more reckless version of you, you know, basically. So I only do what you would have told me to do, exactly. Which I think was dope. And so he decides to go along with him. So now we got a squad of five, I guess,
going. A motley crew.
We got a little motley crew. We got Beast Man. We got Orko. We got Roboto. We got Teela. We got Huandra and Evil-Lyn. So I think there's a six.
And you know, my man who seems like he's caught up in the shuffle, Beast Man is that dude though. Like, he's quiet as kept, like a goon.
Yeah, he holds it down
so far.
I hope he gets like a full episode to kind of get fleshed out too, because it seems like they're kind of doing that with everybody as it goes on. They give each person kind of some moments to for you to build some sort of connection to them. And Beast Man is just rawr, but outside of that, you know, I'm sure there's some layers to him that I think we could peel back in some future episodes.
Not to get too in depth, do you think the magic water is like symbolism for something else? I feel like once we go through the episodes, we should start diving into theories like that. Let's put a pin into that. I think that's something that will serve us well.
Oh, for sure. I think that's a really good idea. I also like the idea that Andra was very much intrigued by what Man-at-Arms was able to do. And I think that was a little moment too. I think there was a lot of like little gems in this episode that
I want to say, like, outside of the finale, this is probably my favorite episode out of five.
You're like the sun, huh?
Oh my god, that just sounds so weird.
Sorry. It's
First so of all, can we talk about the Krav Maga that they keep using in this entire show?
Yeah,
with the hand throws and the
a lot of technique in these throws. So yeah, man, they're saying like magic is low, and so we're gonna need magic to get popping. And but the motherboard says no, embrace tech. So I think at some point, if magic is low, I think they are gonna have to embrace technology.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, like the military for Eternia, they rely heavily on tech. So yeah.
I remember all those tanks and stuff that I used to buy.
Yeah,
I certainly remember that. So yeah, they do. I feel like I'm hoping for a triumphant like redemption arc of Motherboard. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because right now, I mean, like I said, they started off kind of as a joke. And so I don't want to laugh whenever I see them. I want them to figure this stuff out. They got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Will like, they or won't they?
I don't know. That's a question that we've yet to see.
That's a
maybe question. Maybe in the next two episodes, guys. Listener,
let us know. I would love to hear from you. Hit us up on the Twitters with the hashtag Castle Grayskull Pod, or hit us individually on Instagram or Twitter at MegaRan, or Marcos is at the Sunset Kid 56. And I think we're going to wrap this episode, but we'll be back with episode 4, which is The Land of the Dead. That was my Skeletor laugh. But we'll see what happens, y'all. I have some idea because I watched it, but I have a lot of theories that I want to spill for you that we'll do in our last episode, and maybe we'll bring some special guests. Thank you guys for checking out another episode of Castle Grayskull Radio.
Peace.
Our music is by Game Villain and David Renda. And remember, hashtag Castle Grayskull Pod. Peace, y'all. We out.
Peace.